Coming up, what's social about a shipping container company? Well, the company's head of social media, Jonathan Wickman, will tell us more. Plus, Facebook's got new graph search. We're going to explain what it all means and find out which restaurant is the dirtiest on Yelp, in fact. All that and Instagram for GIFs on the Social Hour.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Audio bandwidth provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Bandwidth for the Social Hour is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is The Social Hour with Sarah Lane and Amber MacArthur, episode 94, recorded Friday, January 18th, 2013. This episode of The Social Hour is brought to you by Squarespace, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website, blog, or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code SocialHour1. And they recently launched a developer platform for complete code control. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Social Hour from Twit World Headquarters in Petaluma, California. I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Amber MacArthur, and I'm back in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, after a beautiful four-week stay in southern Florida. And now I am in this cold and dreary environment. But you know what? It's good to be back. I can't complain too much.
Well, you know, it was fun to follow you and your Florida travails and your, you know, sort of like windswept, you know, like you just looked like you were in the sun and you were obviously having a good time, but I did miss your little basement studio. So
yes,
welcome back to Toronto.
It's funny, I went out to do a shoot earlier today and I literally had, you know, giant parka on, a hat and gloves, and just absolutely freezing. You forget sometimes how cold it can get here, even though we have relatively mild winters. But today and yesterday, it's been quite cold. But yes, it's good to be home, good to be back in the studio, and good to be on the show, of course.
Of course. Well, it's also good to have another guest on the show. Let's bring him in now, because he's waiting patiently to tell us a little bit about social media from his perspective. It's Jonathan Wickman. Hello, Jonathan.
Hello.
Hello. Now, you're the head of social media for something called Maersk Line. For anybody who's not familiar with Maersk, What does the company do?
It's a giant container shipping company. It's actually the world's largest container shipping company. So I think it's more than 600 vessels, container ships, sailing around in a global network. And I believe it's around 3 million containers worldwide. So all the goods you see around you, 90% of that has actually been transported on a container, at sea at some point in its life cycle. Mm-hmm. So it's an enabler of global trade and global growth, actually. So, but it's not the most famed part of globalization, you could say.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. And I think I should just mention maybe how I stumbled across your name. I was doing a B2B marketing presentation about social media marketing and looking for an example of a company that's done a great job in the B2B space. And I know Maersk has done so many great things under your leadership. And I can only imagine that when you were first tasked with the job, it's not that easy to perhaps promote something like Maersk through social channels, but you've done a phenomenal job. So maybe you could talk a little bit about how you got involved in the process.
Well, first of all, Maersk is a whole conglomerate of a lot of different business units, and what I'm placed in Maersk Line, so that's the container shipping part, as I said before. So just to make that clear, because we have a lot of business units, and I got involved. Basically, I've been working on the agency side for a number of years. And a year and a half ago, I got in talks with the head of comms back then, he said, I think we're about ready to start with social media, but we need to insource it. We need to do it from the inside, otherwise it's not credible. And so he asked if I knew anyone, and I said, yeah, I think you know, I would like to do it if you're up for that. And he said, okay. He didn't expect that, I think. So I joined, and they expected it would take a while, but it took only a couple of weeks before we had a strategy approved by management, and then I got sort of the mandate and full trust to do it from the inside myself. So that's part of the story. It's been under the radar. It's a bottom up approach, and I've done everything solo, more or less, and hardly spent any money. So, and that's been the big advantage in phase one, you could say, because when you spend, you know, that amount or so little money, then you know, they won't. No one will ask any questions around you know, the value of it. So it's intuitively, it's just there. And I think if you start trying to do the calculations, you'll find out it's astonishing. And so the more interesting question is, what's next? How do we build on this from where we are right now?
Well, I mean, maybe we should go back to, you know, where you started. I mean, a lot of people might be watching or listening and thinking, well, it's a shipping container company, and you say that you've had a successful year in social media. Well, what did you do? We have a lot of people who work in social media or on some sort of a team for outreach for large and small businesses who constantly want to know, what's the strategy that actually is going to bring me the most success? Because you had quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, we had the overall strategy is, of course, to support the business and all that. But I think one of the things we really focused on and we were aware of from the beginning is something that many companies seem to forget, I think. And that's simply that social media is about communication and not marketing. And I was hired, you know, to be part of the communications department. The marketing department was actually closed down right when I joined. So and I think that's true, because we don't want to push any messages. We don't want to do anything like that. And then another thing, it's an extremely conservative, historically speaking, industry. So I think it's been sort of the ketchup effect in a way, that all of a sudden we were there and people got so surprised. And we got surprised. When I joined the company, they told me, you know, social media is not going to work here. It's some colleagues told me we're boring. No one's going to like us.
Well, so where do you have the most fans? Is it Facebook? Is it Twitter? Is it something else?
We started had a very deliberate strategy of, you know, starting on Facebook, building some volume and momentum there, and then to you know, go to the other platforms and do, you know, different things on all the different platforms. So we have 700,000 fans, I think, on Facebook, and it's more like 25,000 on Twitter and Instagram and LinkedIn.
Yeah, that's very impressive. Go ahead,
Amber. It's very impressive. Yeah, and it seems like a big part of your strategy, and Sarah and I have talked about this before on the show, is just the rise of visual social media. And I notice with what you're doing right now is, you know, you're on Instagram, Facebook, basically you're posting these amazing images. So whose decision was that, and how much has it helped you?
I think it's very, you know, it's been my decision, basically, but based on what the response I got. Because overall, we had a lot of things. We knew why we wanted to use social media and what we wanted to use it for. So on the macro level, we knew exactly what we were doing and we had a plan in place. But on a micro level, it's been very free-wheeling and free-spirited. It's almost like jazz. I've been, that's what I've told people. It's like improvising on top of a clearly defined structure. Because you need that in order to be responsive towards your audience, in order to, you know, take advantage of the steep learning curve that's really out there, because you get the feedback right away. So pretty early on, we found out, you know, visual, it really works. And it just so happens that in the archives, in that great company with a rich history, were like 14,000 photos digitalized. So, and I, you know, no one really used it. So I spent a whole night just browsing through them and found, you know, top 500.
And again, this is not really, you know, some sort of marketing tactic. I mean, if anything, we've got some people in our chat room who are watching the live shows who say, those are great images, but it's not as if there's some sort of link to buy anything. it's a shipping company. It's very established. So do you find that, you know, that you said that the company is happy with your work, especially because you've been able to do a lot with very little money, very little budget. Does it help Maersk's bottom line at all, or is this just a goodwill measure?
It will do, and I think it's already helping employee engagement. It's already helping in terms of employer branding. It's already helping in terms of transparency and you know, getting our messages across externally to an audience of relevance to us. But bottom line, I think it will definitely play a big part if we do it right. Just we're already seeing that. Just the last week, I think we got like 149 unique leads, which is a big thing. You know, one lead, if it's good, is a big thing in our industry. So as it's B2B, but we got that from, you know, basically writing an article on our website around how we handle the we're particularly good at handling icy conditions and getting our ships into port in spite of the frozen over Baltic Sea. So we had a photographer out there taking a lot of photos of frozen containers.
It's
frozen vessels and you know, really, really icy. And we've been posting them on the various networks and sometimes linking to that article. And now you link on to, you know, a brochure you can download, and then it becomes a lead in the system. So that's really interesting. Yeah, there you have it. That's one example of that. So behind all this, which is really it's the most, some of the most popular posts we've done, that's actually a business purpose of some sort. Now we need to find out, you know, how good are those leads, but it's still interesting that they're unique. So
amazing.
I think the tendency is that even from the sales perspective, and we've never done any. I mean, I right from the beginning, I was just saying to people, you know, don't expect us to sell anything to social media. But now I'm sort of changing my mind a bit and saying, you know, maybe there's an opportunity here.
And 149 sales leads is pretty phenomenal in this space. You know, people are always trying to figure out how to get just a few. So that's very impressive. Last question from me, because I think with any type of social media marketing campaign, it's really key that you have buy-in from the top so that the executives at the company believe in this. Yeah. And I just want you to tell a story, because I believe that there's something, maybe it's your CEO or one of your executives in their office, a bunch of images. I don't know if they're from Instagram, it's a poster or something. But can you talk a little bit about how you got permission from the top down and how that's really helped?
I think the whole you know, the department that I'm working in is working rather closely. We're sitting very close to the top, to the leadership, and supporting them in what they do. So I had access from the beginning, and I also been doing a lot of video filming with them. So and then at one point, I think what you're alluding to is a story about the collage of Twitter photos. No, not Twitter, sorry, Instagram photos that we did, you know, just a giant painting, basically, not a painting, but a collage. You know, I gave that to the CEO. There you have it. Mm-hmm. If you see it from afar, you can actually spot the Maersk star in there.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's
yeah, I can see that.
Different experience if you move away. It's there are two versions of this. One hanging in the canteen, and then one in his office. And he came to me and said, this is an amazing, it's photos by the users. And it shows the diversity. It shows the scope of the company. It's so massive. It's so big, and it's so hardware driven. But still, there's people all over the place, and this will show that, or does illustrate that in a very good way. He came to me and said, you know, that whenever someone enters my office now, the first thing they say is, they ask, what
And I tell them, this is social media. And I said to him, I think that's a really good thing.
Well, so, Jonathan, this is really cool.
That's how I got the buy-in.
This is very cool. Your Skype audio is getting a little weird on us, so we're going to go ahead and let you go. But thank you so much for coming on to the Social Hour and talking to us a little bit more about your work as head of social media at Maersk Line. Maersk Line Social, by the way, so that's M-A-E-R-S-K, linesocial.com is where you can find out a lot more about Jonathan's efforts and what the company is doing. Thank you so much for being with us today. So late over in Copenhagen, you said you were, right?
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll go to bed.
All right. Well, enjoy your Friday night, what's left of it, and you can go ahead and disconnect now.
Yeah. Thank you.
Right. Bye-bye. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Amber, I got to say, you know, we get so many emails. We talk about it's our most common question where people who are working in the industry say, hey, you ladies probably know. I mean, what's my next strategy? How do I get all those followers? How do I do it right? And of course, it's never a one-size-fits-all type of a thing. But this is such a great example of thinking outside the box of a company where executives who have probably worked there for decades said, no, we don't need to pay for this. It'll never work. What is it? This doesn't matter. We're not social. And yeah. It has.
That's, I think, what I love the most about this story. So often people think, well, my company isn't right for social media. There's nothing we can do. And then you look at a company like Maersk and you think that, wow, they probably have been pretty disconnected from the online spaces from a social perspective. And yet they are doing so many amazing things. You know, they do have this really rich history and they're using so many great images. And I just think it's a fine example of what can be done and the potential and something people can kind of look up, read along. Jonathan's been great. He's shared a lot of presentations that he's done online and has provided a lot of insight and shared how he's working. So it's great for people out there, like you mentioned off the top of the show, who are in social media marketing and trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Good get, Amber. Hey, quick reminder for everybody who is not watching us live. If you would like to next Friday, for example, we're going to have Seth Godin on the show. That's going to be really fun. We are live on Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, right after This Week in Law here on the Twit Network. It's a lot of fun to watch us live. But hey, if you don't or you can't or you've got super fun plans on a Friday or your boss doesn't let you watch or whatever, that's cool, too. Just go to twit.tv/TSH. You can subscribe to the Social Hour there. And what I mean by subscribe is it doesn't cost you anything. It's just a way to get the videos or the audio feed, if you prefer the audio version of the show, delivered to you a variety of different ways. iTunes, just your RSS. That's not the point. That part is up to you. The point is that it makes it easy for you to never miss a show. Or if you miss a show here or there, for example, we had Guy Kawasaki in our episode last week. Each episode page, that's the Social Hour episode 93 from last week, has a little embedded video there and a lot of links to everything that we talked about. If you want to follow up on any of the stories that we mentioned or share them with your friends, all that is there. So again, that's twit.tv/TSH. All right, before Amber and I get into some of the newsworthy stories of the week, I want to take a moment to thank Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of The Social Hour, because Squarespace is a way to create a very high-quality website, blog, online portfolio, but it's also a great way to be very social, to have a strong social presence online. And you might say, blogs seem very old school. Isn't social like a whole different thing? Not with Squarespace. Squarespace 6 has not only beautiful templates with drag and drop functionality. They're not drab. They just drag and drop. For all customization tools. So it's very, very easy for anybody who's not super artistically inclined to put something together that ends up looking really, really nice. And they have templates that you can start from, too. So you really already get a head start. And a page builder, it's called the Layout Engine, that you can use to customize pages and kind of categorize things in blocks. You know, you got your photos and your videos and your text. And then social media content is part of that as well. You can automatically import photos from Instagram on your site. You know, you can sync your pages and your galleries to Facebook, for example. You can auto-publish new blog entries on Twitter if you want to make sure that everybody knows that you've updated something, but you don't necessarily want to do it manually every time. All that stuff can be automated. And they've got social media buttons. So you've got your Google Plus button, you've got your Foursquare button, Dropbox, Pinterest, StumbleUpon, all the places that you are active can be part of your site. So it makes it more of sort of a living, breathing animal rather than just, you know, a blog that you update when you get to it. And last but not least, it's just really well designed. Squarespace has an award-winning design team. True story. They have user experience experts. I've actually had some questions because I'm moving over. I've had a Squarespace blog for years to Squarespace 6. And their customer support is not only right there, but they give me good answers. I can tell that there's somebody on the other side of it who's knowledgeable and can answer my questions. And this is it's really not too much of a hassle. And it's hosting too. So, you know, it's not just putting together a blog, it's the whole package. So when you purchase a Squarespace account, and you've got a couple of different options, a couple of different tiers based on what you're looking for, it's not only the website itself, but it's also the hosting. You know, so if you make the front page of Reddit, you don't have to worry about going down ever. That's, you know, it's kind of everybody's worst nightmare, right? So here's the deal. For a free trial, just go to squarespace.com. This is where you can just try it out. So you don't have to pay for anything off the bat. You can just put together a little website. Doesn't take long at all, I promise. Sign up for a free account. Don't need to put in a credit card. You're not going to get screwed on that. And then if you decide to purchase a Squarespace account after your trial ends, use the offer code SOCIALHOUR1. So it's social hour and then the number one, all one word, and you will get a additional 10% off your first purchase on new accounts. That includes monthly and annual plans, because like I said, you got some choices. Again, squarespace.com, and use the offer code SOCIALHOUR1. And thanks to Squarespace for sponsoring us. Amber, some of the big news this week, it was actually an announcement on Tuesday morning, was Facebook's new graph search. Mm. Did you follow the announcement live? We were following along on TNT, but it was a little strange. Nobody knew exactly what Facebook was going to say.
Yeah, no, it seemed to kind of pop out of nowhere, I think, as far as that announcement, and I wasn't too sure what they were going to say either. So I followed it somewhat and have read a little bit about it in terms of the impact it's going to have on other people. You know, I think it's kind of neat in the sense that being able to search information in a smarter system to be able to find things like, for example, if you want to find out which of your friends are recommending a certain restaurant in a certain city, it makes it that much easier. Obviously, some opportunities as well for brands. Sarah, what do you think? What's your reaction?
My gut reaction was, hey, this is kind of interesting because even though Facebook has so much data on photos of my friends before 1994, so that would be probably friends of mine from high school that, you know, that maybe I'm, you know, that sort of thing. Very specific searches that have to do with the social graph that my friends have entered data into. It's very interesting to me. And it's neat. You know, Facebook's got this this great little sort of a video tutorial of how this all works. If you go to facebook.com/about/graph search, that gives you a sense of how you would be searching, what you would be searching for. And it's very natural language, which is kind of neat. You know, people who like bicycling, or friends of mine who live in Toronto, or people who like cycling and live in Toronto. You know, you can be very specific. Friends of friends who are single. You know, that was one of the jokes that people say. Oh, you know, this is gonna, you know, turn into sort of a dating thing. But it's less of that kind of, like, you know how we will search in Google and it's like we search a bunch of keywords and just hope that somewhere our result will be near the top of the page. You're not really asking Google something that sounds at all like a sentence. This, to me, sounds a lot more like you're asking Facebook, hey, could you show me some of my friends who might like this or be in this area or have been to this restaurant so that maybe I could see if they liked it or not? But at the same time, Amber, I think that this has the potential, and I've seen it already, to be abused. Because if, let's say, you know, for TechCrunch, for example, they were some of the writers on TechCrunch were laughing, you know, the day after that all these random people in various parts of the world were just saying that they worked at TechCrunch. So if you were to search people who work at TechCrunch, it's just like all these random spammy accounts that don't lead anywhere, and it's going to screw up the graph search. Now, that's just one example that I can think of right now, but I could see the potential for people to be skewing towards fake or weird answers in order to be at the top of a search. Because even though this doesn't work like Google search, it is something that you might want to be seen inside more often than not. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. It reminds me a little bit. Do you remember that iPad app that launched last year? And I cannot remember the name of it. Maybe someone in the chat room knows what I'm talking about, but I believe we mentioned it on the show. But basically, they took a lot of the data on Facebook and they allowed you to make really specific requests, like you mentioned, to find out which friends were single and, you know, a certain age, whatever it might be. It was a really beautiful app. And then it kind of went away. I didn't hear much more about it. But I do like the idea that they're doing more with the data that they have there. Obviously, there are a lot of people, a lot of information is being put there on a regular basis. And I don't think the search works that well right now. I don't know if I'm going to use this all the time, but I feel like my Facebook experience, you know, it's a little bit all over the map just because of the way that I've managed my page. And it's been something that is much more open and not a smaller network, but I could see people using this.
Yeah, I think that this is, it's definitely a natural progression for Facebook. It's hard to say because, of course, this is something that's been introduced. You can ask to be invited into, I guess it's the beta or it's just rolling out slowly. So it's not actually something that I can show off right now. This is just an introduction, again, at the Facebook event that happened at their headquarters earlier this week. But, yeah, and it makes sense. And they've said a couple sort of curious things. Number one, not available on mobile, at least not at launch. It will just be the web version of Facebook, which is seems counterintuitive to me because so many people only access Facebook via mobile or at least access Facebook via mobile regularly, and the company knows that. And two, they're not monetizing it. So you have to assume that that's coming. You have to assume that that's coming. But... and it's probably, you know, going to be the sort of thing where eventually, if you search for certain data, Instagram photos are going to be part of this too. It's not just going to be, you know, photos that were uploaded to Facebook. It's got to be Instagram data as well. And I don't know, people might get kind of weird about that. But it's as if they're it's like a half launch, right? Because they have a lot more work to do. They wouldn't put all this work into something like this, not try to make money, and not have it accessible on a mobile platform.
Yeah, it's like everything they do though, Sarah. Yeah, like it seems like they half launch everything just to see how people react. It drives me insane. There's so little information about when it's going to be available to everyone, or you know, in terms of how they're going to monetize it, whatever it might be. But I do think this is something they put out there that is more useful than some of their recent launches. Speaking of useful things, I know you found this story and you're a big Yelp user. I also love Yelp, and I really, really like this idea. I'm not sure restaurants will though.
Yeah. So this is Yelp introducing health ratings for restaurants. Now, before you get too excited, this is only starting in San Francisco and New York at first. But what this is hygiene scores for restaurants as rated by the government organizations in these cities. So this is not just sort of like me saying, hey, it looks pretty clean in there. I give it a 98. This is actually the public health department of San Francisco or New York, wherever Los Compadres taco truck is, it's giving over the information to Yelp, which is for the good of the public, right? This is the sort of information that you could find out if you really wanted to. I mean, it's a matter of public record, but it's not as if we all have some sort of a website where we can go in and say, hey, when's the last time that restaurant got shut down for cockroaches or whatever? And this is Yelp saying, hey, this is the sort of stuff that people really, really care about. I mean, when it comes to cleanliness and germs and people getting sick and it's flu season right now and it's just, you know, everybody's down for the count. Why wouldn't we want this information?
Yep, I totally agree with you. It's very cool. Speaking of another thing that's kind of cool, I know that... many times my inbox on Gmail is a bit of a mess, and I tend to use it as my to-do list in terms of things that I have to get done at a certain point. So I really love this idea for our social tip of the week. This is called Task Force, and it works with Gmail. The idea being that you use this to turn emails in your inbox into tasks. So there have been other tools like this. You can create to-do lists within Gmail, but this is definitely more task-oriented. So I think it's really helpful. I also use another program called Insightly, which we use at my company to turn different sales leads from emails into tasks for people within the organization. But what I love, this is something, it's just a little more streamlined, a simpler tool for the average person. So again, for people who rely on their inbox as their to-do list, they may find this helps them stay more organized.
Yeah, I love this. I think in general, I'm a beta tester for an app called Mailbox, which is launching to the public soon. I don't know exactly when, but I think really soon. And it's the same idea. The idea is an email comes in, just don't leave it. The last thing you do is leave it, because that's how you end up, you know, with 2,000 emails that you know, are sitting in your inbox, and you just think, I don't know, I don't even remember, I'm very overwhelmed. So the idea is, email comes in, you know, do you delete it? Do you archive it? Do you give yourself sort of an action item saying, you know what, remind me in 2 days, remind me in 2 hours, add it to a certain folder. You know, it's basically you take action on everything that you receive, so it either goes away or it gets compartmentalized to a place that makes sense for you to revisit later.
Exactly, yeah. And I think that's what a lot of people need. I mean, I don't think we can avoid using our inboxes as something that we rely on a regular basis in terms of getting things done. But being able to clear out that inbox and push those tasks somewhere else becomes very, very helpful. So this is kind of cool. Sarah, for our spotlight this week, I know that we touched on this, I believe it was last week or the week before, the Wiki Voyage.
Yeah, it was a couple weeks ago. We talked about Jimmy Wales. He had gone on to the Colbert Report, which is a television show here in the U.S. on Comedy Central, and talked about the fact that Wikipedia was launching a travel arm called Wiki Voyage. It was sort of a placeholder website, but it's fully functional now. Jason, you can search for any city you want in the world. I don't even, you know, Puerto Rico. Okay, we'll search for a Commonwealth. So this is basically the Wikipedia version of a place that one would travel to. So there's all sorts of interesting information. This is sort of like what I feel like Lonely Planet used to be, but never was this good. So you've got history, you've got climate, terrain, different regions, particular cities. But then it gets really detailed. And Amber, you and I had talked about how we were a little bit curious as to how Wiki Voyage was going to keep the reviews, to keep the opinion out of reviews, because travel is very subjective, right? And, you know, if you're looking at Costa Rica, they have all sorts of information off the top, which is what we all love about Wikipedia, right? It's, you know, it's our encyclopedia. But then there are some travel tips, you know, certain hotels, how to get around by car. Some of that could certainly be subjective. But it seems like they've done a very good job. And of course, they've got, you know, a team of editors. And I assume that many of them are, you know, crossover from, you know, the Wikipedia team and their other outfits. But it's really cool. I mean, it's I was kind of trying to find a city that didn't have a lot of information. I mean, as far as the major stuff, places that I would want to visit, you've got it all here.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, Sarah, and this is totally an aside, but I just did a review of a bunch of interesting apps that came out over the past week or so. And Delta Airlines has an app. They've had an iPad app for a bit, I believe. But they have this new feature in the app called the glass bottom feature. Have you talked about it on any of your shows
yet?
No,
I have not.
So basically, when you're connected to the in-flight Wi-Fi, you're flying somewhere, let's say from the East Coast to the West Coast in the U.S., you're able to see points of interest along the way. So, for example, you could see a Wikipedia entry, or you could see images that people have posted on Twitter. And so it combines all of this information. So as you're literally flying over a city, you're able to get all of this great content really in real time. So I imagine with Wiki Voyage, you know, how many possibilities there are for content like that. And it automatically made me think of the new Delta app with the glass bottom feature, because that's very cool. And I'd love to see these two things sync up.
I'll have to check that out for iPad today, for sure.
Yeah, it's a good
Delta. Of all companies.
I know. You know, nice job.
Shipping companies, airlines. Wikivoyage.org, it's very fun. I mean, if you're the kind of person who gets lost on Wikipedia, that's me, and you have any interest in not even traveling, but just kind of getting a little bit more of a traveler's perspective on an entry about some, you know, Costa Rica or wherever, or Paris, this is absolutely the place. That they've done a very nice job. And, you know, a wealth of information, more than you would ever need. Oh, Paris. I got to get back there. I haven't been there in like a month. Amber, I'm slacking.
Got to go, Sarah.
Hey, we got an email from Kevin. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I jump on you?
Oh, no. I was going to say maybe you could do a sabbatical there. Maybe Leo would let you go there for a year and do shows from there. I think that would be cool.
I'm not going to lie and say that I haven't thought about that.
Yeah.
Because I think, look at Amber. She's part of the show. Everything's peachy. She's nowhere near me. But, I mean, she might as well be. I could do this, too. But, you know, yeah, we'll see.
And Twit's a very global network. And what I love about the way Leo has always approached it is just that we serve an international audience. And what would be better than having someone in Paris?
I don't think there's anything better than having me in Paris. I just can't figure out how to get my cats over there, Amber, because they make you quarantine them. And
oh,
I'm
okay.
Not
well, that's
that.
Where, that's where I draw the line, Sarah. I don't know about the cats. You may have to give them away for a year.
No! Goodness. Are you kidding? Not worth it. I need them. All right. Before I get weird again, let's move on to an email from Kevin, Kev Povo on Twitter. He says, I work at Subway headquarters. I hope I'm not giving anything away, Kevin, but you did say that in your email. And I'm getting many complaints from people about their footlongs not actually being 12 inches. Amber, I know you guys are on the metric system, but you know, 12 inches in a foot. I think the story is getting blown out of proportion, but I thought I would share it with you. And he links us over to a story on PR Newswire, PRNewsOnline.com, about an Australian Subway customer, apparently, decided to measure the length of his footlong sandwich and discovered that it was indeed only 11 inches. So he took a photo of it and posted it on the company's Facebook page, along with the message, Subway, please respond. Now, you might think, okay, well, this is just one guy who's just, I don't know, being a little overzealous. That Facebook post received quite a bit of attention from other people who were also angry that they were being shorted an inch. And it had 131,000 likes, at least at the time of this this article being written, 3,900 shares, 5,900 comments. Wow. A Subway spokesperson apparently told the Huffington Post, we have seen the photo that you referenced of a Subway sandwich that looks like it doesn't meet our standards. We always strive for our customers to have the most positive experience possible. And we believe this was an isolated case in which the bread preparation procedures were unfortunately not followed. I have to laugh. I just have to laugh.
It's so funny.
This is very silly. But it got enough attention because somebody, you know, went through the trouble to say, hey, I'm going to your official Facebook page and I want answers. And a lot of other people said, we do too. Or we want a refund.
And unfortunately for Subway, and Sarah, I know you've worked in the newsroom environment before in your past, and you understand that, you know, a story like this, I mean, people just latch onto it and they love it just because it's kind of funny, right? You know, it makes a great little news story. And, you know, whether or not this happens all the time, it almost doesn't even matter. You know, just the fact that it's sort of quirky and people will want to talk about it, I think it just catches on. So it's an unfortunate story, but I did hear a little bit about this, and I heard that Subway responded saying that, basically, it depends how they cook their bread. And if their bread is cooked properly, it will reach that foot-long standard. But sometimes it's a little bit off.
Well, yeah.
Just so you know.
I mean, it is bread, right? I mean, do you really want the bread to be exactly the same in every single sandwich, no matter what? That's freakier to me, because then it seems like, you know, they're spitting them out like Krispy Kremes or something.
Yeah. Exactly.
I haven't been to Subway in a while. I don't know.
Oh, you know what? You could take this feedback from Steve Garfield, who's watching the show right now. He says, if your Subway footlong isn't 1 foot long, just go back where you got it and ask the manager to give you an extra inch.
Great
advice.
Yeah.
There you go.
You didn't even have to go to Facebook. But kudos to you for getting a lot of articles written about you. You know, fight the man. Get that
too
inch.
Funny.
All right, Amber, we got a hashtag of the week.
Oh, yeah. So a lot of buzz this week, obviously, about Oprah Winfrey's interview with Lance Armstrong. Mm-hmm. I watched a little bit of it last night, so maybe not as interested as other people in it, but just kind of tuned in. But I did tune into the Twitter chat about this particular situation, and I have to say there were some very creative hashtags. So for our hashtags of the week, wanted to mention a couple of different hashtags that people like to share, especially after the story. Nicholas Kristof, I believe he's at the New York Times, had mentioned a couple. One is live wrong, lie strong, and the list of hashtags goes on and on, including Dopra.
Dopra. You know, there was actually, I don't remember whose account it was, but in my Tumblr feed, somebody had compiled tattoos that say Livestrong of people who were obviously very dedicated to the organization, you know, and possibly, you know, were cancer survivors. I mean, all sorts of things where you go, oh, no. I mean, it's possible that Livestrong still means something special to them, but also very possible that it's one of those tattoos that you never thought you were going to regret.
Yeah, it's true. I know. Yeah, no. So that's just, you know, again, a huge Twitter conversation last night. I saw some stats in terms of how many tweets actually went out during the broadcast, and it was in the tens of thousands, if not over 100,000 tweets about this particular broadcast. So never a dull moment on Twitter.
No,
more interesting than TV sometimes.
Oh, I know. The Lance Armstrong buzz over the last week has been really very fascinating, especially because... Mm-hmm. Not only was there were whispers that for a variety of reasons, possibly just to be able to compete again in his lifetime, he was just willing to give it up, you know, because he hadn't for so long. And so there was all of that going on. And then when we learned that Oprah would be interviewing him, it was like, oh, what's he going to say? And then the interview happened the day before it aired, or 2 days. I don't know. There was some time between the two. So then there was all the speculation of what did they say, you know, and so it was the whole story is pretty negative overall, but it is fascinating to watch how everybody was talking about the Lance Armstrong thing, and of course some jokes thrown in because that's what we do on social media very well. Well, sometimes not as well, but we do our best to be really funny with hashtags. Hey, reminder that we love hearing from all of you. You can write us at thesocialhour@twit.tv. Thanks to everybody who writes in every week. We try to use as much of your correspondence as possible. You can also leave us a voicemail at 2626-SOCIAL. That's 2626-SOCIAL. We had a couple voicemails this week from people who have services or apps that they want us to talk about. Those are probably better as emails because... then the voicemail gets kind of long because you're explaining a lot of stuff, and that's just, we can't roll that into the show. So if you've got a question, a comment, an idea, a thought, anything like that, please do call us. Try to keep it to 30 seconds or less. 2626-SOCIAL. That's our voicemail box. So you don't have to worry about anybody actually picking up the phone and scaring you. Or you can record a video and upload it to YouTube or wherever, really, and send us the link via email, and we'll roll it into a future episode. Amber, it's time for Red or Fed.
All right. So, Sarah, I'm not sure that you've stumbled across this yet. I just discovered it today. It's called GIFs or GIF story. I still don't know how to pronounce it. Is it? Do you say GIF or GIF?
And I always ask. I say GIF.
I
have been told 50% of the people of the world agree with me and the other 50 do not. And then, well, maybe it's 48-48 and 4% just don't give a crap.
I know.
But I say GIF. I feel like
I had this conversation with Leo when I worked with him on Call for Help, you know, 8 years ago or whenever it was. And we still never came to a conclusion about how to pronounce it. Nonetheless, for a Rad or Fad this week, I wanted to talk about, I'm going to say GIF story, how to create and share super short animated stories using an app. So if you go to the GIF story homepage, you'll see that this has a little bit of an Instagram-esque quality, although the concept being here that it's more interesting perhaps to share a short little GIF, you know, something with moving images or video versus sharing just a simple image because it would be more dynamic and more fun. They have filters just like you have in Instagram. And again, the sharing concept is kind of the same. So, Sarah, what do you think? Is there hope for this?
I like it. This reminds me of another app whose name is escaping me right now. I've talked about it on i5 for the iPhone a couple months ago. It's the same idea where it's like you're they are still images, aren't they? Yeah, it's sort of little bursts of still images that are looped together.
Together, I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like an animated GIF. I have seen this sort of thing before, so this is not the only app that does this. And I like it. I think it's cool. But it starts to get into that video territory, which I think people tend to say, like, I don't have time, you know? I don't have the 5 seconds. I just want to scroll past stuff that isn't moving. That's at least how I feel. So it's cool. It's very cool. But then I also think, sometimes it's like, it's all I can do to just take a picture of something because I'm like, gosh, I haven't posted anything on Instagram in a while. I mean, even though I see great things all the time, I'm not always feeling like a photographer. And this is even a little bit more of that. Like, it almost has to be an event. It can't just be like, ooh, pretty clouds in the sky. Like, you'd have to, like, figure out how to make it look artistic so that it warrants taking 5 different photos. and yeah, making them a, you know.
I agree with you. I mean, I think it maybe takes a little bit more effort than a lot of people want to spend. But just to get into some specifics here, because I originally found this article on Fast Company. I'm not sure it's even available right now in the App Store. It looks like, based on this article that came out 2 days on Fast Company, that they plan to come out with this. So it'll be available towards the end of February. In late February, the company will launch it. They're just kind of promoting it right now. You know, I don't know. I think it's
it's very artistic looking. I'm not sure that it's ready for like mass adoption. Mm. I don't see how they're going to get the kind of user base or the numbers anyway that something like Instagram would get. Because again, it's sort of like, this has been done before. It's like Instagram, just takes it another step further. But I do think it's pretty rad. I just don't know if it's for everybody.
So, yeah, I think you're right.
That's kind of a waffly answer.
I know, but you know what? I think the problem is some people online are, wow, okay, I'm sorry for people who are listening via audio that you can't see this this animated GIF right now, but it's a not very attractive cat.
No, don't say that. It's just a hairless cat, Amber. They're just as cute.
I don't know, Sarah. I don't know if I can agree with you on that.
They are very cute. Look at those ears. Come on.
I've just totally lost my train of thought.
Like a little velvety body. Aww.
It kind of looks like a bat, actually.
There's a little... And who doesn't like a bat cat? A little bat cat. Aw, I just want to... Oh, think of how soft and fuzzy. Anyway.
Oh, boy.
Like a little pig. Like a little pig. Pigs are cute, right?
I still.
Our chat room does not think they don't agree with me either. So I don't know.
All I hear is like hairless pig, and it's not sounding so pretty. But nonetheless, I guess if you were the owner of the cat, it would be cute. So I'll try to move past it. But nonetheless, I think it's one of those things I want to kind of play around with. But I think people are inherently a little bit lazy when it comes to different tools, and that's why Instagram works so well. So are you going to want to put the effort into it? I don't know. We'll try it out. Maybe we'll table this one, and when it comes out, we'll use it and figure out if it's worthy of a big fat rad.
That sounds good. Yeah, it's a tentative rad. After launch, we will revisit. Some folks in chat are saying, Sarah, you're talking about Cinemagram. That's the other app that you're thinking of.
Ah, yes.
Cinemagram is a little bit different, though, because it will allow you to take a video and then isolate part of the motion. So that's not quite what I was thinking of. See, that's a little bit, that's artistic too, but that almost takes a whole step further. But no, I'm thinking of something else. I don't know. I'll remember by next week. Just when you put me on this, I look at way too many apps. You know, the vault doesn't work very well. I need graph search for my brain. Amber.
I agree with you. I'm the same way. You probably have played with Cycloramic. Is that what it's called? With the iPhone 5?
I don't know. How do you know of all these apps that I don't know about?
Well, because I do the app show here. It's half an hour long. So every week we do a half hour. So you can imagine all the apps. But Cycloramic is the new iPhone app where it shoots a 360-degree video. So basically you set your iPhone vertically on a solid surface, and it uses the vibration in the phone to turn by itself.
What?
It's really cool to watch. So it works like a charm. You know, I've used it maybe 4 or 5 times just to test it out. And it's a breeze to shoot 360-degree video.
That's insane. This is so cool. I'm totally going to do this on i5 next week.
Yep.
I love you. Thank you.
Yeah. I know. I just wanted to share it with you because I know you always come up with stuff that I haven't heard of. So
it's good.
This is a fun one.
It's actually comforting to me that we are building shows based on different apps, you know, because sometimes I feel like, is the well going to dry up and then I'm not going to have anything to talk about? And it never happens because there's just so much stuff out there. And
there's,
you know,
so much stuff.
Yeah. You can't find everything. It's always fun to get ideas from other people. That is so cool. I love it.
Yeah, Cycloramic.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. Well, Amber, for us anyway, we've come to the end of our hour. Thanks to everybody for watching. That is it for this episode. Episode 94 is done. Remember that we are live on Fridays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. It's a lot of fun to be with us live and chat with us live and be sending us stuff over Twitter and via IRC. But if you can't watch us live, twit.tv/TSH is where you can find us on Zinet or on YouTube too. You can just subscribe to the Social Hour feed over on YouTube. I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Emma MacArthur. And don't forget to tune in next week for Seth Godin.
Yeah, it's going to be a good interview. See you guys next week.